Well, a few weeks ago, I shared with you that we were going to stop and circle the wagons in our study of the book of Ephesians. That's actually been about 3 Sundays ago. And I told you it'd be 2 Sundays, but you know, the Lord, I have to be careful that I don't get ahead of the Lord, amen? He kind of has his ideas about things, and we need to learn to follow his lead. So, the focus that we've been looking at in the book of Ephesians has been so far on the spiritual blessings that we have received in Christ. And I shared that the reason we're going to circle the wagons is because we were going to apply those spiritual blessings in the context of physical healing. And I stated that the blessings that we have received in Christ are spiritual, and therefore we have received them within our spirit. All right. Now, we've put up on the screen a few different occasions, the diagram that shows how the concentric circles, that at the core of who we are spirit. And then the second concentric circle, if you will, is our soul, which is our mind, emotions, and our will. And then we get the whole body part because we see it all the time, right? We live in the natural realm. And so we live in a physical body. Well, the spiritual blessings that Ephesians talks about are received in that core place when we become a follower of Jesus Christ. When we're born again, we receive all of those spiritual blessings. But I also stated that one of our greatest challenges as followers of Christ is learning to take what we already have received in our spirit and do what is necessary to experience those blessings in both our soul and in our body. See, the spiritual blessings that we have received are an outcome of the salvation that has been received in Christ. Therefore, salvation is actually a descriptive word of what has happened to us spiritually in Christ and what we have received in Christ. And as you know from Ephesians chapter 1, what has happened to us as followers of Christ is we have been chosen in Christ, number one, to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's the first spiritual blessing that's listed. Secondly, we have been predestined in Christ to be adopted as His sons. Okay? Now, that's not a chauvinistic word because it's similar to the church being called the bride of Christ. There's a descriptive nature to why it's called sons, and that is because we have received all the same rights and privileges as a son of God as Jesus has received as the natural born son, right? That's the whole concept of Roman adoption that Paul's writers would have understood. See, he didn't have to explain it to them. They got it. They knew that in that culture, when a person was adopted, that meant that they were brought into the family and they were no longer second class or a servant or any kind of lower, you know, class. They received everything that the natural sons received in the family. So, that's one of the blessings that we have received, and we have received it because we've also received the third blessing that is talked about, redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He has lavished on us. Aren't you glad God doesn't just give you a little trickle effect of grace, but He has lavished His grace on us? Amen? All right, but this is what we also need to understand. God never intended that we just experience those blessings in our spirit alone. Now, I'm just going to let you in on a little secret. Much of the church thinks that's all there is spiritual blessings just in the spirit. So we get salvation, and someday we get to go to heaven. That's about it for right now. You know, yeah, we've got work to do, but, you know, we've got Jesus inside of us, so we just live life, and somehow, you know, that's the fullness of spiritual blessing. Well, I'm here to tell you that's not the case at all. God never intended for that to be all there is when it comes to the Christian life here and now on this earth. All right? His intention was that we also experience these blessings in our mind, emotion, and will, our soul, and in our physical bodies. Did you know that? Okay? He didn't just do half the job. He did all the job. Okay? Now, there is something that we have to understand. Just like we received Christ into our spirit through being born again, we have a responsibility and a part in that process. Amen? So the same holds true when it comes to experiencing those blessings in our mind, emotion, and will, and in our physical bodies as well. It just doesn't happen just because. No more than salvation happens just because. We have a role to play. And we know that part of that role is exercising faith. Amen? But here's the blessing. Here's another blessing. Exercising faith can only happen because God imparted to you a measure of faith. Okay? So even that is given as a spiritual blessing. But it's given, but a gift that is given that is not received is not a gift that you can benefit from. Okay? It just sits there. It's out there. And there's, you know what? There's not one soul on this earth that God has not given the blessing of salvation and offered it to. Not one. Okay? But there are many who have been leaving it on the shelf for some time. And so we will not experience the full benefit of all those spiritual blessings unless we tap into them by faith. Here's what we need to understand. That does not mean that God's intention is that we only experience them. Occasionally. That's another problem. Sometimes people think that, well, God will bless me a little bit one day, but some days He doesn't necessarily want to bless me. Or God might bless that person, but He won't necessarily bless me. Anybody ever felt that way? Okay? But did you notice that these blessings have been given to everyone who is in Christ? Okay? So it isn't one of these, you get a little bit and you don't get a little bit. I like you a little better as my son, but you're kind of the black sheep of the family, so I don't like you as much. How many know God has a fair amount to say in His Word about playing favorites? And God is not a respecter of persons. Okay? So these blessings are for you. Matter of fact, you already possess them. But what you may not know how to do is access them in your soul and in your body. So that's what we're going to talk about, because one of those blessings is healing, physical healing. Okay? So can you see why, by the Word and the fact that it comes out of the salvation that we have, that a person, by God's Word, authoritatively can say it is God's will to heal someone every time. Now, some of you are probably already going, are you sure? The reality is we can experience the power of the blessings that we have received in both our soul and our body. our body too. If that were not the case, then listen, the whole idea of being transformed by the renewing of our mind would not be possible in our soul. Think about it. If it wasn't there constantly, and it wasn't God's will constantly, then only occasionally you could be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But the Word says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. God will not command you to do something that you can't do and that He has not provided you the means to do. Right? Now, most of us say, yeah, that's okay. I got that, Pastor. You know, I realize, you know, I have some issues that I need to be healed of. Most of us understand that. But then we go into this move of physical, and all of a sudden, a high percentage of the church puts on the brakes and says, oh, we can't get there. Jesus didn't die for that. Oh, really? Oh, really? I love that. That's the word today. Really? Seriously? I mean, oh, I love it. Donald, anyway, I'm on a tangent. I'll get back here. Okay. And so if we couldn't experience the power of the blessings in our physical body, then physical healing wouldn't be possible either. Right? If you can't experience those blessings in your body, then physical healing wouldn't even be possible. Now, how many know that from God's Word, it's clear that healings in the soul and in the body are not only possible, Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And maybe you don't know some of your church history, but just so you know, it's been going on after all the apostles died. Okay? So if it weren't possible, we got a problem. Then we don't even have spiritual blessings. Does that make sense? Now you have to get a hold again. That's why I continue to go back to them, because you got to get a hold of what they are. You are a son of God. You are blameless and holy. You have been set apart, forgiven, and redeemed. You've been given a deposit of the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing the inheritance to come. But guess what? That deposit starts paying dividends now too. Okay? Now, will we receive the full benefit of those spiritual blessings while we're here on this earth? Personally, and I'm not, I don't think we can. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because unless Jesus comes back, we're not going to get a full resurrection body yet. And that full resurrection body is part of the fullness of the promise. See, that because there's another passage in Romans that talks about that the redemption of our body is the adoption as sons. But we have to understand that adoption occurs in every realm, okay? And so in that sense, no, we can't experience the fullness of the blessings yet because we haven't been fully regenerated to have a resurrection glorified body like Christ has. But too much of the church says that, well, that blessing physically, that's what it means, and so that's what it applies to totally, and so you can't experience spiritual blessing in your body now. But how many know I've been teaching on the fact that God has ordained every day of your life before one of them came to be? Okay? And how many know, do you remember that I've taught you that, and many of you knew this anyway, that everything that happens in the earth is not necessarily God's will. Okay? It's God's will, according to 2 Peter 3:9, that everybody be saved. No one come, you know, no one perish, but everyone come to repentance. Does that happen? So does God's will always happen on the earth? Okay. And so we don't always experience everything that's God's will, but we can experience what His will is for us. And I believe that His intention is that you live out the fullness of your days so that that plan can be fulfilled. Now listen, the Bible says that Jesus came that you might have life, John 10:10, and have it to the full or abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So guess what? If everything that happens in the earth is not always God's will, and the enemy is trying to steal and kill and destroy from you, how many know that he's going to try to work things through deception and sin and unbelief to try to get you in a position where physically you can't fulfill the plan that God has established for you? Well, you know what? The only way he can do that is by stealing it from you. But Christ has given you the authority as a son to say, oh no, you will not. And so if the devil's trying to shorten your days or inhibit you from fulfilling God's plan, even in the physical realm, I'm telling you right now, you have the authority to say, oh no, you won't. I will live out all the days of my life that were ordained for me before one of them came to be. Don't tell me it's not God's will every time to heal you physically. You look in the Word of God and you can see that the people of old, many of them like Joseph or Jacob, you know, they didn't die of some disease. It says they pulled up their legs in their bed, they covered themselves, they blessed their children, and they went to be with the Lord. It wasn't because of cancer or heart disease or something else. Am I anybody hearing this? So do all Christians experience those blessings in every area of their life, in their spirit, soul, and body? So is the reason that every Christian doesn't experience those blessings because God is withholding them from some people? Or is it because some people haven't been accessing those blessings in such a way as to experience what they are, not only in their spirit, but also in soul and body? Okay? Now, I'm going to clarify that because there's been way too much condemnation heaped upon Christians related to this. And so much of this is misunderstood. And I'm telling you, Jesus, it's clear. The Word says that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. That there is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this whole nonsense that, well, they just must be in sin, or they just must not have enough faith, that's a bunch of hogwash. Can there be things that can inhibit us experiencing those blessings? Sure there can. But it's never going to come in the form of condemnation upon someone and shame and guilt. Do you hear me? You need to understand that, because too much of that has gone on in the church, and people have walked out of the church feeling defeated because of some high and mighty Pharisee in the church. And so, as I stated a few weeks ago, not only is it God's will to save us, it is always God's will to heal us in our physical bodies and in our soul. Not necessarily in that order. I emphasize this by showing that there was never an occasion when Jesus refused to heal anyone who came to him to be healed. Do you know that? I mean, I gave you the scriptures. Those various places. Jesus never once refused anyone. All right? The only time it even came close to that was in Matthew 6, 1 through 6, when Jesus was unable, it says, to do many miracles and only heal a few sick people because of the unbelief that existed in the people in his hometown because they took offense at him. Isn't this Joseph's son and Mary's son and James and John's brother? And they were looking at him from this realm. They didn't see him from the other realm, the kingdom realm. They only saw him as the Son of Man. They weren't seeing him as the Son of God. But what's awesome is that because he was Son of Man and Son of God, he had the authority to heal every time. We're going to get into that more next week. So it wasn't that the power wasn't there and that the authority wasn't there. It was their faith, their unbelief, I should say, inhibited him from doing many miracles. Okay? And so the other emphasis I made about being God's will to heal is that when it comes to praying for healing, nowhere in Scripture does it teach us to pray, "Lord, if it be your will, please heal me." I dare you, I double dog dare you, to try to find in Scripture a place where it says that. All right? Now, I'm going to give you the closest place that exists to that. All right? But before I do that, what you really need to understand about God's will and seeking it is that in Scripture, if you look up the passage of Scripture that it does deal with, it's either dealing typically with receiving guidance and direction for some area of your life, something you need to do, a place God wants you to go, that kind of thing, or in terms of obeying something that he commanded, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? "Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." That wasn't about that Jesus was sick and needed healing. That was about, oh Lord, Jesus knew the price that the cross, the cup of suffering that he was going to face. And it was more than just physical. Physical's just the picture. I think the deeper suffering came in the soul and in the spirit. Okay? And so, when it comes to praying God's will, those are the kinds of things in Scripture that praying God's will talks about, not healing. But the closest example, and I touched on this before, so I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, but it is in Luke 5, 12 through 16. Okay? And in our life group, we actually were reading this it was actually the counter passage in Matthew, but we were reading this passage, and the Lord just kind of stirred me up some more about it, so I wanted to share that, okay? "While Jesus was in the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy," or a skin disease of some kind. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, how many think that that just contradicts everything I just said? Just a little, okay? I told you, Now, did he ask Jesus if it be his will? You see the slight difference already? He said, Lord, if you are willing. He didn't ask a question. He made a statement. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hands and touched the man. I am willing. So, okay, that shoots the dark that maybe there was at least one person in the whole world that Jesus wasn't willing to heal. He did. He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded you for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news spread about him all the more so that the crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. So isn't that interesting? So it just shows this is a constant pattern. Jesus is always, always, always willing to heal. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. Well, let's break down the context of the passage here. To any of you, now don't speak it out because some of you have the background. But how many of you really aren't quite sure, based on what I said, why this guy would have said, Lord, if you're willing? Anybody not necessarily sure why he would say that? Lord? Okay, at least nobody's willing to tell me that they're not sure. All right? Well, here's the deal. If you understand the Jewish law, because Jesus hasn't fulfilled the new covenant yet, right? If you understand by Jewish law, if a person had a leprosy or a skin disease, they would be they were required to stand off at a distance away from the rest of the people and actually yell out, unclean, unclean. And if they touch somebody and they had a skin disease, they could be stoned to death for that because they broke the ceremonial law. Okay? And so this man wasn't coming to Jesus to say, oh, Jesus, if it be your will, would you please heal me? The man came knowing that the no-touch zone was part of the law. And so he said, but Lord, if you're willing to touch me, I can be healed. So the willingness was not on the part of whether Jesus was willing to heal him or not. Of course Jesus was willing to heal him. It was Jesus willing to go against the law and touch that man? You see where the willingness comes from now? Okay? So this has nothing to do with, Lord, if it be your will. And that is the only passage in Scripture that uses that terminology. But how many churches have built a doctrine around that? Okay? And so if you remember, when I began teaching on healing, I said that what I was going to do from week to week was to shoot some sacred cows. Anybody remember me saying that? Okay? And what I also said was that the meat from these sacred cows was going to be pretty tough to chew at times because sacred cows are usually pretty old. Therefore, I asked you to keep hanging in there with me if what you hear me teach gets a little tough to chew and swallow at times. Okay? Well, let me just say that the sacred cow that says sometimes it's not God's will to heal a person is one of those really old cows. It's been around for a long, long time. Therefore, I have a hunch that some of you, even after I've preached so eloquently, I have a hunch that some of you are still having a little bit of a difficult time swallowing the idea that this sacred cow is actually false. And that it is actually a stronghold of the devil that has been erected in the minds of many people within the body of Christ. All right? And here's why I believe this is the case. I believe it's because many people have prayed to God a number of times and asked Him to heal them of something that they just continued to be tormented by, but they haven't seen it happen, right? Or maybe it's because they prayed for somebody else for a number of years and haven't seen them get healed either. And so since their experience has been they didn't see the results they asked for, many people have concluded that sometimes it just isn't God's will to heal a person. Okay? Anybody ever had that? I'm telling you, I've been there. I have been there. I'm not there anymore, but I've been there. Well, if you happen to be one of those people this morning, I'm going to share some more with you that I believe will help break down that old tough piece of gristle you're chewing on. So that hopefully you can soon swallow it and be done with it. All right? Doesn't that sound delicious? Can't wait for that one. And so what I'm going to do is work at finishing off that old sacred cow. But I'm going to use an illustration, all right? And with this illustration, I need your help. So you get to be engaged and involved with this illustration, okay? All right. How many of you have ever built a campfire? Or a fire of some kind? Okay. How many of you have seen and experienced fire in your lifetime? Okay, pretty much, I would say all of us. So has the Lord given us fire in the earth? Is it a blessing He's given us with? Now, since you've seen and experienced fire, is your observance and experience of fire what determines whether or not fire exists? No. If fire didn't already exist, then there would be nothing available to see or experience, right? But since fire does exist, its existence is what enables a person to observe and experience it. Now, I know I'm getting a little repetitive, but I want you to get this. However, is it possible that there have been times and places in the world where even though fire has always existed, some person or group didn't know that it existed because they had never seen or experienced it? Sure. Okay. But even if that were the case, let me ask you, did God give us fire in the earth? So it's not based upon whether that person has ever experienced it or not. The reality is it exists, right? Okay. Principle number one, just because you haven't seen or experienced something does not mean that it doesn't exist. And guess what? This applies every time in the spiritual realm, because the natural man cannot relate with the spiritual realm. The Bible says that the man without the Spirit of God does not understand the things of God because they are foolishness to him, because they are spirit. 1 Corinthians. All right? So remember that principle. Just because you haven't seen or experienced something does not mean that it doesn't exist. All right? Now here's my next question. Let's say a person just happened to live in a tropical rainforest area where forest fires weren't very prevalent. And so they never experienced fire. They have never experienced fire before. How would that person learn about fire? How would they learn about it? Someone would have to come to their region and tell them. Exactly. Okay? And so first of all, someone from outside would have to come in. However, in order for that person to actually benefit from the fire on a long-term basis, wouldn't they also need to have that person come in and show them how to build a fire? You know, it'd be one thing to just show them a little matchstick with a little flame of fire. It's another for them to say, listen, let me show you how to make this happen. Okay? So principle number two. When something exists that we are ignorant of, in most cases, we will need someone to show us that it does exist and then show us how we can go about acquiring it. Let me say that again. When something exists that we are ignorant of, in most cases, we will need someone to show us that it does exist and then show us how we can go about acquiring it. Right? So that's principle number two. Now here's my final set of questions about fire. How do you go about acquiring a fire when none already exists? Okay? How do you go about natural fire? How do you go about acquiring it when none exists? What's needed? Okay, spark, gas, wood possibly. Anything else? That's coming in future messages. Okay. A need for it, possibly? All right. Well, in order to have fire, I'm not really trying to get that sophisticated, okay? All you have to do, for one, if you've ever seen a fire extinguisher, there's three components necessary for fire to exist. Okay, so I'm getting a little scientific. Very basic science, but nonetheless, okay? You need fuel, you need oxygen, and then you need heat. In other words, an ignition source. Does that make sense? You have to have all three of those components in order to get fire. Okay? And if any one of these components is missing, can you have fire? No. All right, but since God has given us fire already, can't we just go to God and say, Lord, please give me a campfire to cook my food on? And so I can be warm when it gets cool at night? Can't we just go, Lord, please, 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 just give me fire, just give me fire, just give me fire. Give me fire, give me fire, give me fire. Give me fire. I'll fast and pray, God. Give me fire. Okay. God can sovereignly act sometimes, right? But, is that His intention? And how many of you have experienced a sovereign healing without some other involvement necessary? Prayer, laying out of hands. You see what I'm saying? Okay. You need to understand that that principle applies to healing as well. Okay? And so the only way that we can get fire is if we bring together the right combination of elements in order to get it. It's already been provided, right? So here's principle number three. Although God provides us with various blessings in life, some blessings require that we bring together the right combination of elements in order to see and experience those blessings. Okay? And so now what I want to do is show how those three principles that we've just looked at apply to experiencing healing in our body. Okay? The only difference here is the elements that bring about physical healing are spiritual in nature, whereas the elements that bring about fire are physical in nature. Okay? And so first of all, let's look at principle number one again. Just because you haven't seen or experienced something does not mean that it doesn't exist. Now, when it comes to physical healing, I believe that many of the doctrines that have been established in the church today that emphasize that supernatural physical healing isn't always God's will haven't been established because there are actually occasions when God wasn't willing to heal. What I believe has happened is that the reason these doctrines have become so prevalent is because people have prayed and asked God to heal themselves or someone else, and they haven't experienced the healing. Okay? However, as you would expect, I don't believe these doctrines have been established because they actually reflect what is true. The only thing those doctrines reflect is what somebody has experienced. And so what people have done is simply established doctrines that have taken God's word and made it fit within their experiences, rather than taking their experiences and making those experiences fit within the word of God. You hear me on that? So God is the one who establishes what is true or not, regardless of our experience. So if your experience with physical healing is that you have prayed and asked God to heal you or someone else, but you haven't seen or experienced it, that does not automatically mean that it isn't God's will to heal every sickness and disease and to heal every person who comes to Him for healing. What that means is you're going to God and you're asking Him to give you fire when He's saying, no, 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 no. I've given you the elements that are necessary to bring healing, just like I've given you the elements necessary to manifest fire. Okay? So anybody interested in knowing what the elements are? Okay, well, this is where we're going to close the service. Hey, you always tell me I preach too long. That was a bait and switch, wasn't it? Okay, all right. I just thought I had to get that in there. That was, you know, okay. All right. Well, first, we need to really apply principle number two. When something exists, and this is going to go into that, when something exists that we are ignorant of, in most cases, we need someone to show us that it does exist and then show us how we can go about acquiring it. All right? Now, here's where Jesus comes in. You need to hear this. This one is worth the price of being here today. I'm just going to tell you. All right? Unfortunately, what has happened doctrinally in the church is that people have taught that one of the reasons that Jesus came was to heal people and to give His apostles authority to heal as well. Now, we know salvation is a part of that too, but this is one of the reasons He came, and the reason for this was so that people would know that He was the Messiah. Okay? However, once this was revealed and He and His apostles were all gone and we received the full canon of the Bible, the doctrine says, then the need for healings and miracles were no longer needed. Therefore, the ability to produce supernatural physical healings and miracles stopped. That's the doctrine, folks. That's one of the doctrines I've been saying is a sacred cow that needs to go. Okay? Well, I'm here to tell you that this doctrine that has been established is nothing more than man's experiential hogwash. And really, it's the devil's hogwash that he served up to the people because they haven't known how to apply the elements to get physical healing. And so therefore, they've bought into the lie and they've actually made doctrines about it. So they've only reinforced unbelief in the church. Now listen. Yes, one of the reasons that Jesus came healing the sick and that He gave His disciples authority to heal was to reveal that He was the Messiah. Of course it's one of the reasons, all right? However, that's not the only reason that He healed and gave His disciples authority to heal. Jesus also came to our region of creation to show us that through Him, healing in our spirit, soul, and body does actually exist. Just like somebody would need to go to that region of the world and show them that fire exists, We needed somebody from another realm to come to show us that healing spirit, soul, and body does in fact exist. And he demonstrated it again and again and again. And he even gave his disciples authority to demonstrate it as well. All right? But that's not where it ends. Healing was never intended to end with Jesus and the disciples. Healing of all forms was intended to begin with Jesus. He was what got this thing started. And that's why Jesus himself said in John 14, 11 through 13, he said, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves." Guess what? Those were miracles and healings that he's talking about, the works. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." The church keeps spiritualizing that passage and say, "Well, that means more people are going to get saved." Or, folks, listen. Jesus, the works that I did, stop reading what you believe and start believing what you read. "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father," right? That culminated the process on the earth. And then he sent the Spirit. And I will do whatever you ask in my name. Through the Spirit, by the way. So that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus came to show the world what the world didn't even know was possible. Didn't even know existed. And listen, folks, if Jesus and the apostles needed supernatural works within their ministry to get people's attention so that people's hearts will be open to receive the gospel, then how much more do we need the supernatural works of God today in a world where everywhere we turn, the Bible is being reasoned away as just another religious document along all, just like everyone else? There's no distinction anymore. It's just a religious book. It's just a Jewish history book. That's all it is to people. But I'll tell you what, if we start doing the works that Jesus did that are purported in the Bible and they see it in us, guess what? Now we got their attention. They're going to realize that book is just not any ordinary book. They're going to listen to it. They're going to be hungry. Will everybody know? Did everybody in Jesus' day? No. But I'll guarantee, but look at what happened from Jesus to the 12 to the 120 to the 3,000 to the 5,000 to Paul's to the Gentiles to the ends of the earth. The world got turned upside down. And every step of the way, just read the book of Acts, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, signs and wonders, the preaching of the gospel. You see what I'm saying? Listen. We've got to have it today. There's a reason the church is declining in America and not growing. It's because we have been deceived to believe that the supernatural is done. It's never been done, folks. The fire has always been there. Always been there. We've just, through unbelief, stopped accessing it. So how do you acquire that kind of fire? How do you acquire the kind of fire in our bodies where people get healed? That's the final principle. Although God provides us with various blessings, some blessings require that we bring together the right combination of elements in order to see and experience those blessings. So now here I'm going to give you the elements, okay? Here's the elements. Power. These are all spiritual, by the way. Power, faith, and authority. Now you're going, that's all there is to it? That seems pretty simplistic. Well, if you look at it like that, it is. It is pretty simplistic. But don't mistake simplistic for easy. Okay? I don't have time this morning. I'll give you a little homework. All those three elements are described in, actually, if I do that to you, that's not fair, because I know some of you are not going to go home and look at that passage. I'm not going to read the passage. It's just the passage in the Bible that talks about Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who came and he had a sick daughter about to die. She was about age 12, and he come and asked Jesus to heal her. So Jesus says, yep, I'll do that. So he starts on his way to Jairus, and here comes a lady that's been dealing for 12 years with an issue of blood. And she says in her own heart, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And so she, now again, I'm just going to tell you, that took a lot. That took faith. Because guess what? An issue of blood was a stonable offense too. But she reached up and touched it, and she was instantly healed. And Jesus instantly felt power go out from him. And he said, Who touched me? Well, you got to know he's in the midst of a crowd. And so all kinds of people are bumped up behind him. He probably isn't even thinking somebody's down at his feet. Okay? And so he's looking around, who touched me? And the disciples are going, Lord, come on, everybody's touching you. You know? But she finally, again, comes in fear because she knew. But yet, guess what? Listen to this. I want you to hear this. Her faith pressed past her fear. You hear me on that? And she reached out and was healed. And it says power. So there's power, went out from Jesus. He knew it was there. Faith was actually in that incident on her part. And when it was all said and done, and she showed Jesus who he was, he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. So guess what? Jesus had the power and authority. She had the faith. All three came together. Same thing happened. Then Jesus went to the daughter, went in. Guess what? Not everybody got to go in, because he come in and said, you know, she's not dead, she's asleep. And the people that were there wailing and grieving just laughed at him. So guess what? They didn't go in, because unbelief is a hindrance. Okay? And so Peter, James, and John went in, and the parents went in. That was it. And Jesus touched her, and he spoke to her. It's the Greek, I won't pronounce it because I don't know it, but it's basically, little girl, get up. That's the translation. And she got up. Authority was given because Jesus spoke it. Power was released. She got up. And I believe in that situation, faith was present, because Jesus didn't allow anybody to come in who would hinder that faith. Faith, authority, power. Okay? Those are your three elements. All right. So, why is it difficult, and this is where I'm going to close today, why is it difficult for us to see healing? Maybe. One way. One thing. Let me ask you this. How many of you have ever had a difficult time building a campfire or some other kind of fire? How many of you know that the elements that you use for building a fire must fit within certain conditions, or it's not easy to build a fire? Right? If you have wet wood, if you have bad ignition source, that lighter is just about out of butane, those matches are a little damp, or anybody ever tried to build a fire at a campfire where the fire pit's right on the ground, and it's very difficult for oxygen to get through there, but if you just take your fire pit and put three bricks underneath it so oxygen can flow, all of a sudden fire can start coming, okay? Well, guess what? When it comes to healing, faith, power, and authority must come together. The right conditions must be met as well. And I'm going to tell you that what I think is one of the biggest hindrances to every one of those conditions being effective is unbelief in every one of those areas. Okay? You don't believe that the power of God is for you. You don't believe that you have the authority in Christ. I'm not worthy. You don't understand who you are as a son of God. You don't know that you're loved by the Father and that He's never going to withhold from you. Okay? Or faith, guess what? The Bible says we already have a measure of faith. But do you know that faith and unbelief can be present at the same time? Let me give you a different illustration real quickly. This is where the Lord really showed me how I believe this works. I work with an electric utility, right? Okay? Well, here's a picture. You have electric hooked up to your house from your utility. Most of us here have consumers' energy. Okay? It's provided. The power is there. Guess what? When you were born again, the power for healing is there because the healing's in the atonement. I'm going to teach on this week, next week. There are gifts of healing. We talked about this through the gifts last week of healings and miracles. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you that healing for everyone, you don't have to have someone who has a gift of healing pray for you to get healed. If you understand how to hook up to your power source, you yourself can get healed through your own faith, your own authority, and the power that's in you. Okay? There's a difference. And so you've got the power there. Okay? Well, now, faith, some of you have heard me say, is the switch on your wall. Okay? Turn the switch on, power's released. Turn the switch off, power shut off. Okay? The faith is the switch is what releases the power into your utilities. Okay? Now your authority is the fact that you own the home. So you have the right to turn the switch on and off anytime you choose. But authority has another component too. Authority is like the wiring inside your house. It's what brings order. Okay? How many know authority brings order? And how many know if you get a little slice out of the wire and it produces a short, it can create power surges or flow somewhere else, and you can turn your faith on and off all time, all you want, but if your authority is inhibited, one, you think, well, you know, I don't know if I really have the right to go turn on the switch. Or if you've got a gouge in your wiring, and therefore the power is being shorted out through that wiring, then there's a hole in your authority somewhere, right? That can shut down the power. But then here's the other thing. Unbelief. And sometimes it's the hardest to detect. Because usually you can detect if there's a gouge in the wire. You can begin to recognize in your spirit, okay, I'm walking in fear, I'm walking in unworthiness, I'm walking in strife or something, so it's an inhibited my authority. You can begin to see those things. But unbelief, sometimes it is so hard to know where it's coming from. But unbelief is also a means of shorting out. It's like if you look at it as like a gas pipe or a water pipe, it literally is like a clog. It shuts down the flow between the power source and the switch. So you can be exercising your faith like crazy. You can be speaking to that thing, I'm in the name of Jesus, you're healed. You can speak to that thing. And you can go, you know, and you can have faith as small as a mustard seed because that's all Jesus said it took. To speak to that mountain and tell it to be moved. But if you've got something inhibiting the flow of the power between the source and the switch, even if your authority is all lined up, it will inhibit the power of God flowing and producing healing in your body. Okay? Unbelief. Guess what? How many of us fight with these old doctrines that I've been talking about today? It's going to shut off the flow of power. And how many, because of your experience, that I've prayed and I've asked God and I've done this and I've done that, but based on your experience, you don't believe, really, that you can be healed. Even though the power's there. Are you getting my drift? Okay? This is why people don't get healed today, folks. Sin can be a clog too, but it's not because you don't have enough faith. It's because a lot of times our unbelief overpowers our faith. And what we have to do is we have to, by the Word of God, the authority that we've been given, even if it's layer by layer, we got to discern where the unbelief resides within us. And I'm telling you, I'm working on this myself, folks. And it's not always an easy task. But tearing that down and strengthening my faith through the Word of God, through praying in the Spirit, through praise and worship, building that faith up, tearing that unbelief down to the point where the clog, the short is removed, and the power can go in and do what it needs to do. Amen? Does that make sense to you? That's our problem. So don't let the enemy deceive you into believing that it's not God's will to heal you. It is His will to heal you every time. The problem is, you know what? Let's be honest. It's a whole lot easier when we're not getting healed to blame it on God and that it's not His will than is to blame it on ourselves and say, I've got some work I need to do to get my authority in order, to get my faith in order, to get unbelief demolished, and to get the power of God released in my life. It's work, folks. You can't just walk through life in your little Christian experience and be a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian and just think you're going to experience the fullness, the blessings that God has given to you. They are there. I promise you they're there. But you got to access them. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So this morning, if you just want prayer, say, you know what? You need to be like this man in Mark 9, 17 through 27. After Jesus came off the mountain, his boy was seized by a demon. The disciples couldn't get the demon out. And listen what the man says to him. He says, if you can, I got to get it. I'm looked at Jesus' part here. It said, when the Spirit saw Jesus, immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around foaming. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for the one who believes. When Jesus, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. That needs to be our prayer, folks. I do believe, Lord. I believe it's your will to heal me. I believe it. But there's unbelief there somewhere. Help me overcome. Help me to detect. Help me to discern what it is that I'm believing more from this natural realm than I'm believing what your word says, which is of the spiritual realm. You know when we're going to get healed, folks? It's when we see and believe that which exists in the spiritual is more real than that which exists and we experience in the natural. That requires faith. Amen? If that's you this morning, you can pray that prayer on your own, but if you would like us to agree with you, we're willing to agree with you in prayer and pray with you and say, Lord, we're taking the first step today. We might not have all these elements figured out how they work together, but we know that it begins with dealing with my own unbelief. I believe. Overcome my unbelief. Amen. If you would like prayer for that this morning, we would like to agree with you. So what I'm going to do is, if you would like to stay and agree with these folks, please do that. If you decide to, it's time to go home. We've been having some issues with people have been staying in the sanctuary and they're talking a little bit loud. And so it's hard to minister up here because there's a distraction. So please be sensitive of that if you are choosing to leave, take it out there if you want a fellowship or whatever. But I would encourage you, pray for these folks. We're a part of one another. Amen? Amen? And I want to encourage that. So let's pray. And if you need to, you're dismissed. If you would stay and pray, that's great. If you would like to receive ministry, we want to provide that as well this morning. Father, we thank you for your